And welcome back to This Green Earth. I'm Claire Wiley. And joining me now is Dr. Javier Monzon, who is a biology professor at Pepperdine University and a contributor to a new study about coyotes. Dr. Monzon, thank you so much for being a part of This Green Earth today.
Thank you, Claire, for inviting me. It's a pleasure.
All right. Well, from the jump, let's get to know you a little bit better and how you came into this work. Please share with us what brought you into this field.
Wow, we have to go way back. As far as I can remember, in my childhood, I just loved animals. And when I was maybe 9 or 10, I maintained a list of all animals I knew. And so this was a handwritten list.
Wow.
That was organized by like mammals and amphibians and reptiles, birds and insects and invertebrates, things like that. At that age, I would go to the library and check out the maximum number of books that I could check out each time, which was 10. And they were all animal books. I would go home, devour them, and then just keep my list growing. If we fast forward to college, when I was a freshman, I started doing research with my professor of animal behavior, and we worked on the behavior of canaries and to understand how they learn to sing.
Oh, interesting.
But when I graduated college, I was really interested in the ecology of mammals, especially of larger mammals, because larger mammals need more space than smaller mammals. So larger mammals tend to get into conflict with humans more over space and how they navigate a human-dominated landscape. So I went to Stony Brook University to pursue my PhD, and I decided to focus on coyotes. But the coyotes that I had at my disposal to study were all dead. There's a large collection of coyotes at the New York State Museum in Albany, and so I did a genetic study. When I came to Pepperdine University in 2015, I wanted to continue studying coyotes. And the cool thing about coyotes is that they're kind of everywhere in North America. Mm-hmm. They're in most cities from East Coast to West Coast. And so it was easy to study urban coyotes here in Los Angeles.
Sure. And your study does go into that urban area and how coyotes are existing there. But I want to take a broader look at how you collect data now, because it sounds like you are utilizing cameras to study behavior, and instead of in a museum, you're looking at a coyote who is in its environment and reacting to it in real time and adapting to it in real time. So tell me how it is that you collect this data through cameras.
Yeah, great question. Remember, I started studying animal behavior in college when I was studying canaries. But then when I went to study coyotes as a PhD student, I was studying the genetics of essentially dead coyotes. So this was my first opportunity to study living coyotes in real time. And we used wildlife cameras, which we call camera traps, because they capture photos of animals that move in front of the camera. And these cameras are triggered by both heat and motion. So when a warm-bodied object comes in front of the camera is triggered, and we can program them to take either photographs or video. So for this study of coyote behavior, we programmed them to capture video.
Yeah, so you are seeing how they're relating to their habitat and how they're relating to their surroundings. Let's talk about coyote biology and how they exist in an ecosystem.
Sure. Well, the coyote is a member of the canid family. So other members of the family are wolves, dogs, jackals, foxes, for example. And the coyote is a native North American mammal that throughout its natural history has inhabited the Great Plains and the arid landscapes of the American Southwest. However, in the last 100 years or so, it has gone through a remarkable rapid range expansion throughout North America. So now it is found all the way from Alaska down to Panama, and from the West Coast to the East Coast, and as far northeast, that's probably Nova Scotia in Canada. It is also found in a very wide variety of habitats, like wetlands, forests, deserts, plains, like grasslands, and even cities. Many cities in the United States have coyotes in them.
What is their unique attributes that allow them to adapt in this way to these different ecosystems?
They have a very flexible diet, so they can eat just about anything. Unlike wolves, for example, who are ungulate specialists, meaning that they just like to eat deer or members of the deer family or large animals like elk and moose and bison, things like that. Coyotes can get along just fine with hunting either small things like rodents and rabbits, also eating a lot of vegetation. They do eat a lot of fruits, and they are good scavengers, so they can rummage through garbage and also find uneaten slice of pizza or something like that, and they'll eat that. Besides that, they are habitat generalists, so unlike wolves, who tend to like forest, coyotes tend to not be so picky about where they live.
Yeah, and so you're talking about this widespread of coyotes. We have them here in Utah. We have them in our backyard here in Park City. And you also see them in these urban areas. What impact is it that a coyote has on an ecosystem? What do you see when you see presence of coyotes, a shift or a change in that ecosystem? What kind of effect do they have?
Well, generally, their role is as a predator, and naturally, they would not be the top predator of their ecological community, because in North America, naturally, there would be larger predators like grizzly bears, like brown bears, wolves, and mountain lions. But those have been eradicated from most places where they occurred naturally. So then the coyote has kind of taken their place as the top predator in many cases. And as such, the top predator has many cascading effects on other members of the ecological community. So for example, coyotes eat a lot of rodents, and when they come into cities, they can actually help out with some rodent control. Coyotes also, even though they don't eat as many deer as wolves do, they are capable hunters of deer, especially in the east. And In some places in the east where deer are overpopulated, coyotes can help to maintain those numbers at more reasonable levels.
So when you have this dispersement and they're in these different habitats, is it creating these different subsets then of this species? And what does that look like?
Yes. So there is some evidence that coyotes that live in different habitats have distinct genetic makeups. This was seen in California, where coyotes that live in the arid western part of California have a different genetic makeup than the ones that live in the Sierra Nevadas, and a different genetic makeup than the ones that live in the wetter eastern part of Northern California. In 2020, we followed up with this to see if urban coyotes in Los Angeles have a distinct genetic makeup from those that live in the nearby mountains, and they do. So it appears that coyotes, even though they can live as a species in a wide variety of places, they probably tend to interbreed with other members of the species that have similar habitat affinities. And so this causes these genetic differences to exist.
Yeah, so in your study, I'm reading that there's a hybrid coyote as well that creates entirely new behaviors. Can you tell me about that?
Yes, coyotes started moving east to the east of the Mississippi River and just colonized the eastern half of North America about a century ago in the early 1900s. And as they did so, they encountered some pockets of wolves near their Great Lakes. Well, it turns out that most coyotes now that are on that quadrant of North America have a hybrid ancestry, meaning that their ancestors are coyotes and wolves. Mm-hmm. There's a little bit of dog in there too when we did these ancestry analyses on the northeastern coyotes. We looked at more than 400 coyotes from the northeastern North America, and 100% of them had a hybrid ancestry. And they were, on average, about 65% coyote, about 25% wolf, and about 10% dog. So this makes them look different. Definitely, they're larger than their typical Western coyote. And they're probably more wolf-like also in their diet, in that they eat more deer and other members of the cervid family. And they probably also tend to form larger and more cohesive packs than in the West. But these are just some examples of how this like sudden influx of wolf genes changed coyotes in the East.
Do you have a name for this hybrid species, or is this still being studied and sorted?
It's still being studied and sorted. I like referring to them as Northeastern coyotes because, again, they're mostly coyote genetically, and Northeast just describes where they occur in the Northeastern quadrant of North America. A lot of people call them coy wolf. That name is most used in media and kind of by lay audiences, but my colleagues and I think we prefer the term Northeastern coyote, or sometimes I just call them coyote wolf hybrids.
Sure, we would like to name things, myself included, because it gives it a descriptor, but in scientific terms it probably strays a little bit from their actual genetic makeup, because you said that there's a lot of different equations to them, including there's some dog in there as well. Do you think
exactly
because coyotes are so adaptable and they're spreading across such a wide landscape, do you think we'll continue to have these ever-evolving subsets of coyotes, that this is just going to continue?
Yes, but we actually don't really know if coyotes are very adaptable as individuals. We know that they're very adaptable as a species, right? Because of what I said earlier, they're just found in a wide variety of habitats. They have a really broad diet. What we're trying to learn now is whether they are very picky as individuals. Because, for example, we can think of the human species as very adaptable, right? I mean, people live all the way in the middle of the jungle in the tropics to the Arctic Circle, right? And human diets are extremely diverse. But individual humans are not very diverse. We're very picky, right? I mean, I eat almost the same thing every day for breakfast. So we're trying to understand now if individual coyotes are also very adaptable, or if they're very picky. And if they are very picky, then these genetic differences might become accentuated through time as individuals mate with other individuals that have similar preferences. So for example, if urban coyotes have a strong affinity for the urban habitat and mate with other coyotes that also have a strong affinity with an urban habitat, then urban coyotes are going to become more and more genetically different than those that live outside of cities.
Sure, and urban coyotes must have a different footprint than coyotes that are, say, here. So what kind of differences are you seeing there on their impact?
Yeah, my colleagues did a study on the diet of urban coyotes in Los Angeles. A large percentage of scats in urban areas had what are called anthropogenic items. These are basically items that are created by humans. We're talking about like gum wrappers or candy bar wrappers or just things like that that are not natural. So that means that urban coyotes definitely have a different diet than those coyotes that live in more rural areas.
Wouldn't that change how they process food? If you're out in the wild and you're scavenging for either rodents or even larger prey, and then you're also eating berries, but if you're in the city and you're digesting wrappers and human waste that might not be natural, is that going to change how they digest, how their systems work?
Yeah, that's a great question. There are some colleagues who are studying these kind of health effects on urban diets in not just coyotes, but other urban mammals. The idea there is that if some of these urban mammals are eating a lot of processed food, like just scavenging through our garbage and eating pizza crusts and, you know, some half of a burger and things like that, are these going to have a different health effects than if they were compared to other individuals that have a more natural diet? And I don't know the specifics, but it looks like some of these mammals that have a diet that relies heavily on processed foods have physiological markers that are similar to diabetes.
Oh, interesting. Wow. So processed food not only is affecting the human populations, but we are now sharing that with wilder species. That's disturbing and interesting all at the same time.
Yeah, it makes you rethink our diet, right?
Absolutely. Well, when you were doing this study, what was it that you most found interesting or something that you uncovered that you didn't expect?
Well, the study that we just published focused on the what we call boldness behavior or investigative behavior of urban coyotes versus rural coyotes. And we did it across various cities in the U.S. to see if urban coyotes are consistently bolder in their behavior. What we found basically was that urban coyotes are more willing to take more risks than rural coyotes. Mm-hmm. That wasn't exactly surprising because that was our hypothesis. We had two hypotheses. The first was that urban coyotes behave differently than non-urban coyotes, specifically that they are bolder in their behavior. The second hypothesis was that there would be differences between Western coyotes and Eastern coyotes because Eastern coyotes have only been in the East for a few decades, whereas Western coyotes have been coexisting with humans for a long time. The results supported our first hypothesis. However, the results did not support our second hypothesis, so we didn't see any significant differences in behavior between Western and Eastern coyotes. Mm-hmm.
So when you say risks, what are those defined as? How do you define a risk that a coyote would take?
Yeah, this is an important question because what we're calling bold behavior or risky behavior does not necessarily imply that these are more conflict-prone animals or that they are more aggressive. How we set up the study is that we set up an attractant, which was basically a bait, like a meaty bait, with a smelly tablet that attracts predators in front of the camera. And in some of our cameras, we also placed what we call a novel object, which is this makeshift fence that we erected from four poles and some string that would loosely connect the four poles or the four stakes. From the perspective of a coyote, this novel object is new and they've never come across it. And then there's some bait in the middle of it. Now it's not really a fence because there's nothing in that object that would prevent the coyote from just going under the string and accessing the bait. And so what we were documenting with the cameras is how willing the animal was to go through the string and get the bait. Mm. And so we documented several things. We documented coyote visitation time, which is basically how long the coyote interacted with our fence and our attractant. We documented coyote distance, which is how close the coyote got to the bait. And we also documented coyote behavioral response, which is how the coyote appeared to feel in the presence of this novel object. Mm. And so the most important results that we found are that urban coyotes were more willing to get up close and even take the bait, even in the presence of this novel object, compared to the rural coyotes. So that indicates less cautious behavior, or the flip side of that would be more risky behavior.
In this field, if you're working towards better understanding of species and then also looking at human-wildlife conflict and if these urban area coyotes have a little bit more of a risk tolerance, How does that play out with human conflict?
That's a great question. So let me just say that the drive to conduct the study in the first place was because back in 2018, some other colleagues conducted the same experiments, but only on one population of urban coyotes in Denver, and compared them to a rural population of coyotes in Utah. And they found that the Denver coyotes displayed more bold behavior compared to the rural Utah coyotes. A bunch of us who study coyotes throughout the U.S. decided, let's replicate that study to see if this is a consistent pattern of urban coyotes, or if it was just some peculiarity of Denver coyotes. So then we repeated the study across various cities in the U.S., and we consistently found that urban coyotes are bolder than their rural counterparts, and we found no significant differences between Western and Eastern coyotes. But what that means is that solutions that work in one city are very likely to also work in any other city. And by solutions, I mean solutions to human-wildlife conflict, or human-coyote conflict specifically. It is true that coyotes sometimes get into conflict with humans. And so it is important to manage that conflict. And again, solutions that work in one particular city are likely to work in any other city. Anytime there's going to be a human-wildlife conflict, that the wildlife is going to lose. So it's important that we minimize attractants to wildlife, for example, by making sure we don't leave food out that is going to attract wildlife, by keeping our pets indoors or under our immediate control. And so we can't control what wild animals are going to do. We can only control our behaviors. And so, yeah, there are definitely things that we can do to minimize those conflicts.
Well, it's all really fascinating. The study is very fascinating. To better understand what wildlife is doing around you, the knowledge of that, I think, will help everyone in the long run.
Yes, I agree. The more we learn about wildlife, the more we can learn to coexist with it and appreciate it. Where a study like this can go in the future, we're trying to understand now whether this willingness to take more risks is a learned behavior or it's an evolved behavior. Essentially, we want to understand whether these behaviors are caused by the process of habituation, which is a form of learning, or whether it's a process of genetic adaptation, which is a form of evolution. So that is where we are, and that's probably going to be the next step.
It is Dr. Javier Monson, who had a study that just came out regarding coyotes and their behaviors. And if people want to read more about this study or you, where would they go, Dr. Monson? Do you have a website?
My faculty webpage at pepperdine.edu, if they could look up my name in my university website. And the scientific article was published in the journal Scientific Reports. And the title of the article is Large-Scale Experimental Assessment of Coyote Behavior Across Urban and Rural Landscapes.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for being a part of This Green Earth today.
Thank you so much. I really enjoyed it.